Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Where the top of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Moby Ditka joins us in the Hyundai Score studios. We will get to Mark Grody in 1 second. Whew! Speaks, your charcuterie board is getting roasted on the internet.
It's not a good moment. It's not a good moment for me. I saw where John Greenberg said it's something you'd see in a Marriott courtyard hotel lobby.
Is this a charcuterie board for ants? Plain and boring. You said your guests left satisfied. I would ask, did they then just go out to dinner after they left your house because they were so hungry? You're getting crushed here.
And the one guy got me with the patented Boog Shambi insult of, you're better than that.
Cuts deep.
Oh, it cuts deep, and I know it's true. I know it is true. I could have paid a little more attention and given a little.
How much of a moron are you? You're smart enough to know this.
Yeah.
Opening Lunchables and putting them on a wooden board doesn't count. That's a good one.
That is good. That's good. So keep them coming. Shane has it on his Twitter page. We can judge Matt Spiegel's charcuterie board from his boys' night in watching baseball. But Mark Grody is here. What up, Grody?
As usual, I'm here to save the show, save Matt Spiegel.
Yeah.
And whatever he's got going on in the South Loop right now, you know?
It's rough.
It's unfortunate, but next time I won't share. I think that's what these guys are teaching me is to like.
We want
hide
you to be better.
Feelings. You want me to hide my feelings and my charcuterie board. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, if that's the effort you're going to bring, then yeah, frankly. But we want you to be better. More than one meat option for your guests.
Every day we're trying to make
every day
better.
Trying to make people better.
I appreciate that. That's why we gather in film sessions, and you guys point out when I miss a tackle on a long play. You know, and
it happens.
We hold each other accountable.
How about if I just say two magic words to get this on track? Justin Fields.
Ah, yes, it is Wednesday, so Justin Fields speaks today.
He did, and I have a couple of things that I thought were interesting that the Bears starting quarterback said today, and one of those is the coaches have, for a while now, gone out of their way to make life a little bit easier for Justin Fields.
Matt Nagy said that they may have thrown too much at you in the Cleveland game, so they kind of simplified things since then. Do you appreciate that? Do you like that?
I mean, I think every football player plays better when it's simple, when I have to think less, when every football player has to think less. They're going to play faster, and they're going to play, you know, more instinctively rather than having to think.
Some of the things that came off your plate in that simplification.
Just less thinking, like, just, you know, just where some plays I don't have to think, I just, you know, hand the ball off, so, and stuff like that.
I was saying that your situational football has improved the last couple of weeks. You're thinking like the coaches are thinking. What's the challenge of getting better at situational football because you can't just know what the situation is going to be. It's not like knowing the playbook or the reads or things like that. What's the challenge, and how do you think you've grown situationally in games?
The challenge is you don't really experience that situation unless you've been in it or you learn from somebody else's experience in the same situation. So every week, you know, we go through situational plays, you know, in different games, and, you know, we put ourselves in their position. What would we do in that position?
There's a few interesting things there. So he says you either learn from it by being in that situation or you can learn from someone else's mistakes, so presumably from the film room. So he is talking about the lessons that he was able to learn when he wasn't playing and when he wasn't starting. And then
I think, well, on that point, though, Danny, I think he's also talking about the quarterback room, right? He's talking about Dalton and Foles and Matt, who's a quarterback, and Flip, and everybody's talking about, like, them all discussing those things that they've all been through in that way.
Yeah, I mean, but presumably also he was learning when he was a backup, and now he's learning as a starter. So it is interesting to hear him say that I guess you could do both. And then do we get a sense of how simplified they made it? Like, I know they will only tell us so much about scheme, and he's saying there were just some plays where, like, the decision was made ahead of time to hand it off as opposed to an RPO or something like that. But how simplified, dumbed down, whatever word we want to use here, do you think it was?
Well, yeah, we followed up with that question and have not gotten many answers to it. My guess is that they have stuck with, even to almost scripted, to the things that he is comfortable with. And we've talked about that in the past. We talked about that with Mitchell Trubisky as well. But I think that he is really listening to Justin Fields and what he wants to do and what he is comfortable in doing. And as usual with Justin Fields, because I wasn't sure how he would respond to that question, like you use the rougher words, Danny, dumbing it down, and
which I don't think he needs or will need long term, but simplify, you know. So I don't mean it as an insult.
I know, and I know exactly what you meant. Like, I thought about posing the question that way, but I thought maybe I should use some different language here.
Yeah,
and I figured he would be like, well, it's cool for now, but eventually I want to open it up. It sounds like he is comfortable with what they took away from him, whatever specifically that was. And I guess anybody would be after getting sacked 9 times, because it was after the Cleveland game that Matt Nagy made the admission recently about the Cleveland game, that they gave him too much, that they put too much on his plate, that they thought he could handle a lot more. And this is important because this is a fast adjustment by Matt Nagy, one that he never really made with Trubisky until perhaps the very end when Bill Lazor was calling the plays and they gave him one half of the field. They got out of whatever game plan they had or whatever idea they had for Justin Fields in the Cleveland game. They got out of it really quickly, but I agree with you that, yeah, it would be a huge disappointment if eventually, even this season, they don't add a ton more to his plate, other than the simplifying and the running game and all that, which is all great. But eventually, yeah, I think everybody would like to see Justin Fields throw the ball a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, and we all just want to see him a little bit more comfortable and want to see things get slowed down for him. We got heady with some of the stuff that we saw in preseason, and we're not quite there yet. What else did you like from Fields, Mark?
Yeah, so, and this kind of leads perfectly into things that he is doing better. Take a listen to Justin Fields here.
Both Matt Nagy and John DeFilippo said that you'd gotten good at going through your progressions to the third and fourth reads at time. What is that a product of? Why do you think you have gotten better at that?
You know, just coming up in my head before the play starts, if this isn't open, this is where I'm going to go next with the ball. So just kind of knowing where my answers are if my first read isn't there or if they switch the coverages up on me.
Is that a matter of trust too, like trusting your offensive line?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it is. You know, sometimes you're just going to have to hang in there and, you know, get to the second, third read. And I think every day, you know, being out there at practice, you know, I'm just going to get better and better at it. So that's what I'm working on, just, you know, trusting my guys, trusting the O-line to do their job up front and getting through my reads when the first or second guy might not be there.
I mean, good that he's developing trust. Where I saw the progression week to week was, and I thought, like, you know, he talked about, like, stacking solid plays, is that he had a couple long drives. You know, like, the fourth quarter drive was impressive. It was sustained, right? It was 75, 80 yards. The opening drive of the game, like, To do that in the NFL, he overcame the holding penalty, so he converted another third and long like he did the week before. Like, to me, it is just about stacking those plays next to each other and not having it be fleeting moments.
Yeah,
you know,
I will say this: the authority with which he was throwing on that first drive, that was the most authority that I have seen. Like, he knew what he wanted to do.
Scripted plays too, right? They probably practiced it all week.
Absolutely,
you know how you're opening the game.
Yeah, but that was the most confident that I've seen him, just in command of every step. And then it digressed at times throughout the game. But I think the trust thing with the offensive line is important. And again, it's all going to go back to the disaster in Cleveland, where there had to be a regaining of trust. If I was Justin Fields after the game, I'd be like, who the hell are these five guys in front of me? And it was Sam Mustipher who told me that he said to Justin Fields after that game that, oh, your parents must hate me right now, or hate us right now, because we allowed you to get knocked down on the ground
right
nine times. So and think about Tom Brady and the he just stands there in the pocket and dares somebody to come get him, and he's elusive when he needs to be. But I started to see more of that trust, that I'm going to stand in the pocket and I'm going to make the damn throw. And I think that I don't know that that was there previous to this past week, especially on the first drive again.
Also heard earlier.
We lost Spiegel. Awesome. Good time. Good time to lose Matt Spiegel.
Wow.
It's all right. We're hanging out here in studio, but in studio with Mark Crotty. But he was not the only person to speak today, right?
Yeah.
Justin Fields. Who else talked?
So I want to bring you Darnell Mooney.
Okay.
And I put a little bit of this on Twitter, just a tiny bit, and there are all sorts of sarcastic little funnies being made on the tweet at Mark Grody Sports. I'm going to bring the entire cut to you and see what you guys think about it. This is in regards to the offense eventually sprouting.
Things are going to eventually pop, and when it does, it's going to be extremely fun. Right now, it's just, you know, just trying to get everything on the same page. Like I said, it's a process, and we'll get there.
When you say things are eventually going to pop, can you be more specific on what that might look like?
Like consistency of a strong offense, and not we love our defense. Defense is extremely good. Defense has been good for a while, just from what I've seen from the past. Going out there and scoring points when we need to or have to, or having an understanding the offense has this, and if it's 2 minutes on the clock, or if it's 30 seconds on the clock, just understanding that we're going to be able to go down there and score, or the other team doesn't want the ball in our hands. So just being dangerous like that, having the mindset, well, given the mindset of the other team that we're going to be a dangerous offense.
I mean, I hope he's right. There are some teams in the league, you know, I always think about it, it's like, all right, if it's a 4-point game and there's 2 minutes left and you got two timeouts, would you rather your team be down 4 with the ball or up 4 with your defense on the field? Right? Like, there are the Bills, the
yep.
Chiefs, the Bucks,
yeah.
the best team, they would choose down 4 with the ball.
Sure.
You know, and then the Bears would obviously choose up 4 with their defense on the field.
He wants that identity change. He even said it. You know, like, I get it. The Bears are about defense. But he wants to be one of those teams that when they have to damn score, they score and they are feared. I don't remember the last time the Bears had an offense where the defense was, scared of what was going on. Maybe a couple times here and there with Jay Cutler. I don't know. Probably not even then. So I can't pinpoint the time. Eric Kramer? Like, yep. when teams were actually feared the Bears' offense. Matt Spiegel, good to hear your voice.
Hello there, Marcus. Yes, Eric Kramer in 95. There you go. Good night, everybody.
That's it. Jeff Graham and Curtis Conway.
Sure, because, Cutler and Trestman had a year where I think the Bears' offense was, fourth in year one of Trestman before it turned ugly. But, yeah, it's frustrating, which is why life as a Bears fan has just been absolutely brutal. Cole Kmet today talked about Aaron Rodgers, admitted that Rodgers, Yeah, he does own the Bears. So he was reasonable talking about that. What else did you hear from Cole?
Cole. He didn't say really much more in regards to that, nor did anybody else. So there was really no good bulletin board or good retorts to the Packers. However, what I thought was most interesting that Cole Kmet was discussing today, Spiegs, was the growing identity of not just the Bears offense, but the identity of the running game and those runners. And they start talking about, he starts talking about Khalil Herbert, but then he turns it into all these guys. Here's Cole Kmet.
Yeah, he was super focused coming into the week. And, you know, he's been awesome since he's come in. And he's a lot of fun to play on the field with. Between him, Damian, and David, they all kind of have that same type of mindset. It's really fun to be able to block for those guys and see them do well in the game.
It was like another one of those low-key guys. What do you look for on the field to indicate that the switch goes on?
Yeah, I don't know. He's just really poised, man, and he doesn't say much a lot. You know, he's just kind of going about his business and things like that. But he shows a lot of passion out there when he gets running and he runs somebody over. So obviously that gets everybody else going.
When you say they're fun to play with, what does that mean?
Well, I love playing with guys that don't go down. You know, are willing just to put their shoulder down and run somebody over for an extra couple yards. You know, I mean, obviously having a speedster out there is fun, and they can, you know, maybe hit the long play a little more often. But you know, watching those guys run and hit and coming out of the backfield and all that things like that. There's just I enjoy playing with guys like that.
Play like you play because you don't like.
Yeah, that. Sure. Yeah, I don't like to go down either. So yeah, I like that. I like when the guys get physical with the ball in their hands. I think that's a lot of fun.
Tell you what, Cole Kmet did have a play. One of his most impressive plays as a Bear in that game, where he had some leg drive for a final few extra yards in what is somehow, sadly, a career high of, what, 49 passing yards, receiving yards for Cole Kmet? That and the one catch by Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
A couple of numbers I just can't get out of my head in regards to the tight ends.
Everybody's kind of struggling to get theirs right now in terms of receivers and tight ends and those who catch the ball for the Bears, because Justin Fields is still trying to figure it out. Again, that goes back to the simplification. He does not have the entire playbook at this point, so he's doing what he is comfortable with, and I do think that obviously did progress, but yeah, targets to the tight end still need many more.
Jimmy Graham had that one moment where he retweeted the bad stat about the Bears offense. He doesn't really matter long term. Have you, and maybe Allen Robinson doesn't matter long term either, but have you gotten a sense from Mooney, Robinson, Montgomery, like that they are pointing fingers or frustrated or anything like that? Obviously they all want to produce better, but like I wonder if any of those guys are frustrated by the limitations of having to try to win while developing the future.
Yeah, I do sense a little bit of frustration, but I think it's like, I don't know if this is possible, but it's like respectful frustration. Like they understand what is going on. They understand how fast of a switch and how fast they came off the original plan, which was to have a veteran in Andy Dalton, with whom the Bears, those guys, were comfortable. Nobody wants to hear that, but they were comfortable with it, and this is a completely different thing. But I think they all know that Justin Fields has all the tools to be great, so they are. I think it's okay to be simultaneously frustrated and respectful. And Allen Robinson said to me a couple of weeks ago? He said, "Through frustration comes correction," which is pretty poignant. Like you might be angry. He said it's okay to express some of that anger if you're not getting yours, if you don't think like you're playing up to what you should be playing to, because correction comes. And even if it's just incrementally when it comes to Justin Fields, it will be there. And they just know this dude's the goods down the road.
All right.
So Matt Nagy seemed to handle the question about Jalen Johnson posting the fine letter on his Instagram pretty well in the moment. But what could you pick up from him, or what might you have picked up from conversation or otherwise? Is he pissed that Jalen Johnson would share that? Because I probably would be.
So, yeah, to let people know, yeah, Jalen Johnson posted on Instagram that he was fined $2,745 by the Bears for being late on Tuesday. Matt Nagy was not aware that he had posted that on social media. At least that's what he told us. And then his words were, "That's news to me. I'll be able to talk with him and see what that's all about." And Speaks, to answer your question, yeah, I'm sure he's frustrated by it. Yeah, I mean, here's a player in his second year, and even if he was 1 or 2 minutes late, you know, the rules are rules. And, you know, the fact that he put it up on Instagram, I'm a little surprised, quite frankly, that Jalen Johnson would do that, considering this next step in maturity that he has talked about in regards to himself this year and being a different person and the things that he values in life, and then something like this he throws up on Instagram. But I guess when you're taking money out of somebody's pocket, maybe that's the way they deal with it. But yeah, I'm sure Nagy's not happy.
It's such a young guy move.
That's true.
Yeah. I would be very surprised if he got that letter and posted it 3 hours later.
Yeah.
My guess is he got the letter, had his phone in his hand, posted it.
Right.
And that isn't an excuse, but as an explanation of a generation that lives their life through the internet and on their phones, it is just the natural, or maybe it's not natural, but it's like you're programmed to share the unusual of your life on there. So,
but hey, that's the boss, man.
Oh, again, not an excuse. It was a bad idiot move, as we like to say around here, for posting it. And Matt Nagy's right for enforcing the rules. But I think it is just it was like an instinct to go to social media, which needs to be coached. I mean, look at Eddie Jackson, like you've been in these locker rooms. It's been a while since we've been allowed in the locker rooms, but it always blows my mind. I get in the locker room, they have the 10-minute down cooling period after these games, and there are guys in shoulder pads. You know, they haven't gone to the shower, they haven't taken off the pads, they haven't gone to the trainer, and they are scrolling Twitter and Instagram.
Sure.
Checking their mentions.
Absolutely. And some guys admit it, some guys don't. Like Allen Robinson, actually, when I would talk to him, he's like, I love social media. It's awesome. I love reading it. I love participating in it.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to. And then somebody like James Daniels, who says that he blocks out certain words like Chicago Bears or does anything to like he shuts it down during the season. Mitch Trubisky famously did that as well.
and
shut the TVs off too.
That's right. What other Bears nuggets do we have?
Few other. The injury report just came out a short while ago. The Bears kick returner Jakeem Grant, Akeem Hicks, Allen Robinson, and Khalil Mack all held out of practice today. We talked about Jalen Robinson. Matt Nagy was asked about Tariq Cohen today, specifically if Cohen is close to returning. His answer was, and this will not satisfy anybody, but I am just the messenger. He said, I think he's very similar to where he's been at. The only thing I can say is that he works hard. I see him every single day. He's trying to do everything he can, so I just appreciate him. So that, to me, that's bad news. We're not close, so I keep wondering if we're going to even see Tariq Cohen at all based on that response, because that's all Matt Nagy has said this year about Tariq Cohen. And then one other guy, too, I did ask about Tevin Jenkins, because everybody always wants to know about Tevin Jenkins. Nothing. He said it's the same with him. And again, I did see Tevin Jenkins on the sideline, so that is progress I can report. And he was walking fine. The back surgery, obviously, quote unquote, successful. But when he gets to practice again, there is no answer.
Tevin Jenkins, that one feels to me like a while away, right?
You would think a back surgery for an offensive lineman
who basically missed all of training camp anyway. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't even practiced with the NFL team anyway. So you gotta get back, practicing, and then have to, you know, get into game shape with physicality after a back surgery. It could be a lost year for him. Obviously don't have any insight into it other than someone who's had a bunch of back surgery before, but like seems like a ways off for him. And something happened with Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, there was one week where Matt Nagy was asked if he had had a second surgery, and he kind of hiccuped on the answer. It left it very ambiguous and open for the possibility that a second surgery did occur. He's way beyond the point where, with this injury, from ex-players that I've talked to, that he should be at least practicing at this point. But we don't know, and I guess we have to respect that. So.
Bears.
Yeah, Bears. That's it, guys.
All right, Grody.
Later.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. We will talk soon. Some more historical context off of the baseball from last night. I participated in apparently a rite of passage as a scam in Parenthood. And then we excite you about the Bulls coming up at 5. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And he sends it yes. High and deep, yes. Way back right center field. We are tied! Cody Bellinger strikes again!
Audio from TBS, spot of the hour, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. We got playoff baseball on right now. Astros on top of the Red Sox, 1-0 in the second inning. At Cody Bellinger, 3-run home run last night, Spiegs, in that Braves-Dodgers game. Pretty badass postseason moment.
Yeah, you were watching some baseball last night. Let me hear about your baseball viewing experience last night.
No Danny. Charcuterie board. wife had the main TV in the living room, so I went into my little area with the multiple screens because she was watching the season premiere of The Bachelor. And so I had the Bucks-Nets game and the Braves-Dodgers game on, and when I got to, you know, after being done with dinner and seeing her and baby asleep and everything, it was about halftime. It was halftime in the NBA game. So I started with sound on the baseball game and it held my attention. Like baseball got more sound than basketball last night because that game was awesome. And it wasn't too long after I started watching that Bellinger hit the home run. And I was also just kind of tracking the live odds for it. And because they just offer so many more things for playoff baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Braves, like Joe O was telling us yesterday, were the favorite to win the World Series. And they were a huge favorite to win the series, obviously, when they were leading in game three. And then Bellinger hits the home run and just everything changes. And then as soon as they won that game, it goes right back to, oh, yeah, well, the Dodgers woke up and now they'll be fine. At least that feels like it's the assumption around these parts.
Well, it's possible. You know, you got people talking about momentum and stuff like that. But, like, you know, the Dodgers were absolutely dead in the water. And it's interesting because we use different things like that. Like you use, like, looking at the live odds and stuff to kind of contextualize what it feels like. And I always end up using the historical comps to contextualize what it feels like. Like, I knew that was huge. It seemed like they were dead, and then he hits that home run, and they're tied, and then eventually Mookie does what he does and drives in Chris Taylor with what would be the game winner. But, like, Jason Stark had this today, and I know how you love how my sport will come up with caveats to create stats and niches that have never existed. You love this.
Yeah, yeah, right. Things. It was the biggest three-run home run in the NLCS in the Western time zone against a righty with Pat Sajak in the first row since 1974.
But here is an example where it contextualizes it, and I think it's very effective if you know the context that it joins. Team trailing in a game and trailing in the series, okay?
Yeah.
It's best of seven series, so it's a big series, and they're trailing in the game, trailing in the series. It's a three-run homer or a grand slam that tied the game in the eighth inning or later. That matters.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Three or four runs in one swing that ties it in the eighth or later, and the team that hit it went on to win. So you're trailing in the game, in the series.
Yep.
You get it, right?
Yep.
Three ever in the history of baseball's postseason. Cody Bellinger last night. Jim Leyritz in 1996 with a legendary home run for the Yankees in the ALCS that I remember well. And Bernie Carbo in Game 6 of the 1975 World Series for the Boston Red Sox, which is another legendary, crazy home run before Fisk hits the one in the 12th inning that he has to wave fair and changes television forever. That's another story. But so like stuff like that, when you contextualize it and you realize, yeah, that's why it felt so huge and so rare, because it is that huge and that rare, and there's that much context that makes it feel that way. You know what I mean?
Of course. I mean that context is great, and Jason Stark's amazing at putting those sort of things together. It was a
I love that about baseball postseason, of like just taking you back decades and like immediately connecting certain moments with others. And historically, you realize why something feels the way it does.
I bet it was the first time though that particular home run had been hit in a postseason for a team that also used nine pitchers. In a nine-inning game.
It's brutal, man.
Pitchers in a nine-inning game.
Yeah. It's out of hand. Everything, it's just out of hand. There's so many bullpen games. And even when a starter goes, now it's like 2 1/3, 3 1/3.
Yeah, he was 3 2/3, Walker Buehler, last night.
Yeah, you know, and they'll bring a starter back in 2 days or 3 days and just use him on the side. It's not going to change without legislation, and you can think about whether you want to do that, as I'm hopefully Theo's having those conversations with Rob Manfred, if Shane doesn't set him on fire first, and that's all going down, because it's brutal. And it's also just so predictable. Like the Red Sox, they added two new pitchers for this series that they didn't have last series, right?
Yeah.
Both of those guys have gotten their ass handed to them in late innings, in like the ninth inning of games in this series. Like they've ended up having to use, Alex Cora had to use this Japanese pitcher who looked like he had never been in a situation of consequence in his life. He looked terrified coming into the ninth inning of a game, having not been on the roster for the ALDS, and he got his ass handed to him completely. It's like, what are we doing here? Not every one of your eight or nine pitchers that you're going to use are going to be worth their own salt on a given day. It's just, it's insane what everyone's allowing to happen.
I agree with you completely. It slows the game down, and it is the classic case of, because the rules are the way that they are, the team will take advantage of it because the numbers and the analytics have proven that it is the best way to win a game, and it is where analytics and watchability and entertainment are in direct conflict with each other. There are examples of this in basketball, in football, in baseball. It is the most costly, I would argue, in baseball because it's also the sport without the clock, right? When you don't have a clock and then these types of things get deployed, it makes a slow, long game slower and longer. Whereas,
and it's also, yes, absolutely. And it's also a sport that is like fighting to get you to know their players. So what are you supposed to understand who you're watching in the sixth or seventh game when it's the seventh relief pitcher in and you've never heard of a guy, but you just have to trust that he's great? You're not going to get the casuals like that.
And I know I've said this before. It's ridiculous that they're playing right now. Come on. Why does this game start at 4:10 Central Time when everyone in Houston is in traffic, maybe leaving their job early or not. Put the games opposite each other.
Yeah.
Who watches 7 hours of playoff baseball in one night and just sits there and watches the full games back to back? Whoever those people are, whatever percentage of your fan base is doing that, you have them already. Like put the games in prime time. And I know the reason. The TV networks will say, we don't want our audience even cannibalized 10%, where people will choose between, you know, Fox Sports 1 for the ALCS or TBS for the NLCS. And I know that TV drives it and it's the almighty dollar. But I would be fascinated in some sort of cost-benefit analysis in terms of promoting the game and, like, how many people in Boston and Houston are you losing by these games being on during the afternoon on weekdays as opposed at prime time when everybody can watch it. It doesn't make sense, man.
But then if you start them in prime time and then it just goes so late and you're losing people late anyway. You know why they do prime time. It's for the TV money. And I understand that's what you're saying for. But you've got, like, the ALCS games, 3 out of the 4 have been more than 4 hours long. And they end so damn late. And it's just, it sucks. It sucks. And when you've got people who love the game railing on it and complaining about it, it's a terrible look. Everybody should be excited and watching this stuff and enjoying it terribly.
Yeah, it's worse in the earlier rounds when they play multiple games in a day and they've got we had it happen to the White Sox, right? Like weekday day playoff games when kids are in school is completely ridiculous. Put the games on at night. Put the games on at night. Put them on at 6 o'clock. Start them at 6 in the local market and say, all right, maybe you got to leave a little early. Maybe it interferes with some dinner time. If the game goes 4-something hours, it'll go past 10 o'clock. But the games are on. They're on opposite each other. If you want to just get check-ins on everywhere, that's what MLB Network is for. If you want to lock in on your game, at least kids are able to watch it before they go to bed when they're out of school. But, like, playing these games because they can't go up against each other just seems so counterproductive to me, especially because they end up being up against each other. Like, last night, the ALCS game started before the NLCS game ended.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was a crossover, like, 3 innings.
Big-time crossover, which was fun. We bounced away from the Red Sox to go there. Jim Leyritz has a bunch of famous home runs. He had a couple in the ALDS, one in the ALCS. The World Series one is the one that Stark was talking about, as textures are correctly pointing out, off of Mark Wohlers in 96. So 2 World Series home runs and Bellinger's last night.
Texter says, I watch all the baseball. Danny's dumb. All right, they have you, is my point. New texter says, kids don't watch baseball. Okay.
You need them to. It
contributes to the issue. And I know, you know how they definitely don't watch baseball? When the playoff game of their supposed favorite team takes place at 1 o'clock on a Thursday when they're in social studies class. Make it a little bit easier on the youth to watch your sport.
Depends how cool the social studies teacher is, am I right?
Yeah,
fair
point.
Maybe that dude is letting it hang out, playing games on the iPad.
Parenting scams next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Play like you care! Every one of you sucks! And we're tired of paying for tickets and parking and hot dogs and wasted freaking Sunday afternoons watching you play. Because you're not playing hard. You're not playing like you care. You're not playing like you want to be there. And you know what? Fans are going to stop coming because fans aren't going to support your crap. Perform like you care. Admit you have no idea what's going on. Admit you have no idea that you care. Just come out and tell us, and we'll stop going. Because you know what? It was a nice Sunday yesterday. I could have gone pumpkin picking. I could have had donuts down in Lewisburg and cider. But no, I watched your sorry ass play. Win games now.
One of the most ridiculous rants in sports radio history from Bob Fesco. Does mornings at my old station in Kansas City. Famously, I could have gone pumpkin picking. I don't know the last time I was at a pumpkin patch. Went this past weekend, took Owen. It was a great day. It really, truly was.
It was a beautiful day. You had one of those crisp, gorgeous fall days to go, and it's a lovely atmosphere. First time as a dad at the pumpkin patch. That's a different experience.
Totally different experience. I went with my cousin's kids probably a decade ago. But again, yeah, not my responsibility, not my money, not my kids. A lot of things about like having kids or pets. I feel like everything is kind of marked up in a ripoff financially for like what you're actually getting, but. Whew, the pumpkin patch, man. They get you with the tickets where you got to pay the cash for the tickets, but then they will also accept, and I don't know if this is a COVID thing or a new thing, but they also would accept credit card and contactless delivery.
That's or breaking news. Payment.
Yeah.
That is breaking news because the tickets for cash thing is the biggest problematic scam. It's like Taste of Chicago level scams, but contactless and credit card sounds good.
It is, except if you're in a situation where, like, you know, you want your 21 your toddler to be like walking around and burning his energy, but you know he there's a lot of stimulus overload, right? Like, he's like, oh, there's a ride. There's a pony. There's a pumpkin. There's a camel. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's, like, basically, like, spinning around by all of the different options that are. So if we want some cider and some donuts, it's best for, like, one of the parents to break off and go purchase those items and then come back and meet up with us so that Owen can just be in his, you know, at the petting zoo. He's like, cow, goat, cow, pig, goat, cow, llama. It's just going insane. And so, but then, like, I have the tickets, and then Steph has the credit card, and now we're just both spending money. We left with six pumpkins, like a liter of cider. He rode a pony for 30 seconds because he loves animals so much. But you put him up on the, like, petting
it's
the
so it's so sad, the pony going round in a circle, like the six
chained
ponies
up
all
to
tied
the
to the wheel. It's yeah. it's a horrible image.
But Owen, he loves animals so much. He does the animal noises. He loved the petting zoo, and then he'd be like, horsey.
Wait, I mean, like, he does the animal noises to the animals themselves?
Yeah, we'd be like,
be like going up and singing a Stone song to Mick Jagger. Like, what are you doing?
We're like, Owen, look, a cow. And he would go, moo, moo, moo.
The cow's like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I hear that all day.
Yeah.
He's
not
something else.
He's not original. But the crazy thing was, it's like, all right, here it costs six tickets, which is $6, for him to ride the pony in circles for a couple of minutes. And he would pet the pony, but then you put him up on it, and it's like immediately he's skeptical of everything, right? Because he's a little – but like, we were like holding him on the pony. So he was largely fine, but it was clearly more for us and for the photo than it was for him.
I just was thinking about once you've reached the state where a dollar is a ticket –
yeah.
Like, what are we doing? What, right. what are we actually doing here? And I just realized it's not about us, is it? It's probably about, like, the people who take the tickets and take the money. Like, if you're the pumpkin patch, if you're Big Pumpkin, you're wanting to make sure that those people don't steal from you. So maybe it's about some kind of infrastructure issue at the pumpkin patch itself.
And there was no price break. I was like, so how many tickets do I need? And she's like, we would normally recommend that people start with, like, 20 to 30 tickets. I'm like, well, how much is that? And she says, well, for 20 tickets, it would be $20. And for 30 tickets, it would be $30. So I said, so how much for 50 tickets? She said, that'd be $50. So it's like,
At any point, did you want to go take a hayride? And when I say that, I mean just you alone.
It was time to go, happiest moment of my weekend.
Right. So, like,
and it was a great day.
There should be an option where you just take a hayride and never come back.
A one-way hayride. But
weren't we talking about that the other day with Tanny, talking about taking the one-way hayride out of the pumpkin patch,
yeah,
and he never returned?
It's a genius concept. They should. I would have paid 20 tickets just for that.
Way more than for a round-trip hayride.
No question
one
about
way
it.
Is much more expensive.
Much more desirable. But then we give the camel guy, you know, the six tickets, because Owen's like, camel, camel, camel. And we take him up there. And
to ride the camel. So you had camels and ponies in circles riding.
Yeah. And so he pets the camel. We're like, oh, wow, this kid's being kind of brave after the pony debacle. He's petting the camel. Give the dude the six tickets. Speaks. We put him up on the camel. And Steph is on the camel already. I hand child to mother. Mother sets child down on camel instantly. All done. All done. All done. She starts yelling, all done, and then crying, and we have to abort the mission on the camel. Six tickets. Doesn't take a step. Camel doesn't take a step. The guy who takes the tickets, he's like, hey, better luck next year, all right?
Oh, he didn't offer you your tickets back.
Yeah, better luck next year.
Yeah, that's on you. That's on you. Hey, tell you what, next year come with a tougher kid.
Yeah, I guess so.
Raise your kid a little stronger.
And you told me there would be booze cider options. This was a sober pumpkin patch.
Oh, that's tough.
Real
that's
tough.
That's tough.
Real
well,
tough.
Well, then you got to take a page out of the Shane Reardon book and bring your own shooter.
I would have if I had known. You told me I'd be able to buy booze.
I thought you did. I've had boozy ciders at a pumpkin patch.
Not
before.
At Didier Farms in, I think it was Lincolnshire. Yeah, no. It was a lovely day.
Well,
it was a sober day. It was an expensive day. And we pet some cows and some goats.
Welcome to it. I'd say, how old's Owen? He's approaching two, right? He's not
two in January.
Two. He'll be two in January. Yeah, I'd say you have another 6 years of steady pumpkin patch, you know, once a season. You'll get away with once a season, but maybe you can pawn it off on Steph to go solo on one of those.
I had a great time. I won't do that, but it was a real, real racket. We will get you excited on the court and off for Bulls basketball next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.